Good morning, my mighty action takers, friends, family, everybody. I just got off an amazing walk this morning here in Edgewood, New Mexico. It was 43 degrees right now. I think I started, it was around 32. My watch says I walked about 1 hour and 6 minutes, which is about 2.5 miles. Yeah, it's just a basic walk, and it's a very rolling hills type of walk. But if this is your first episode you've ever heard, definitely go watch them and listen to them in order. It's all about my weight loss journey, and the end of every episode, I will sprinkle in what I am doing in regards to business and maybe some mental growth that I'm doing. Okay, so today's episode, I want to talk just a little bit about kind of journal, if you will, some of the thoughts around eating, because one of the common misconceptions that people think they're going to accomplish weight loss by, and I thought this too back in the day, is that you can outwork your diet, right? And just the way I say it, you right away are like, no, you can't do that, right? But that actually is the way a lot of people think. They'll eat however they want to eat, and then they'll go to the gym. But you can't outwork the food that you eat. You know, you eat 2 or 3 cupcakes, that's your whole day's worth of calories, right? So it's impossible to, you know, eat a normal diet plus, you know, a cupcake, plus some popcorn, plus a candy bar on the way here or there, plus some peanuts that were at work in a bowl at work somewhere, right? Plus that little mint that you ate or chocolate. You know, whatever, you get the point. Like throughout the day, you add all that up and you're at like 3,000, 4,000 calories, you know, and you're not like cycling for 5 hours a day. So this is how we gain weight. So to understand what kind of foods to eat, there's two different schools of thought. One is that calories in, calories out. And as a science major, that is true. It is calories in, calories out. But as Andrew Huberman points out, your body burns calories different depending on when you eat them, what types of food they are, right? And, you know, because insulin is affected. So, yes, it's calories in, calories out, but how much calories are going out, right? How much calories does it take to digest a specific type of food? So these are the types of things. And it sounds complicated if you know nothing about it, but if you understand a little bit about food and calories, you know, you hear like, what's healthy food, you know? My nutrition teacher back in college would say, you know, the word healthy in regards to food is not a healthy word, to use the word healthy with food. Because the reality is each food, I mean, unless it's poison, but the reality is food broken down to its smallest form is glucose. It doesn't matter if it's steak. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, whatever it is. It could be a steak. It could be ice cream. It could be salad. It could be asparagus. When you break it down, if it's able to be put into your bloodstream, right, not just like fiber that's pushed out, but if it's able to be put into your bloodstream, it's glucose, okay? So question is, how long does it take to be broken down? Does it feed in very slowly? And what I like to think of is like a battery, you know? When you buy a new battery, it's already charged, okay? It already has a full charge. So imagine that's you and your body fully fed and digesting food, and it has glycogen stores as well. So you could potentially go for a few days without even eating and feel, you know, you start to feel kind of bad after a couple of days, right? But you have storage in there without being a fat person at all, just being straight up, you know, normal, healthy weight. And what happens is with a battery, if you don't charge it, after a while, it will completely run out of juice, right? Well, there's a little device called a trickle charger, okay? Now, a trickle charger it's like eating an apple, right? The glycemic index is something you need to get familiar with. Where foods lie on the glycemic index, once I realized this, I was like, oh, wow. So I just need to look at where it falls on the glycemic index so I can tell how it trickles into the bloodstream. Now, when you're charging a battery, if you put like Tesla now has these superchargers, A supercharger will charge the battery, but it will never charge it to 100% because of the way that it charges it. It just can't, it'll charge it and you'll get, I think at like 30 minutes, you'll get like a, you know, 75% charge. So almost all the way, right? But not fully. You know, a trickle charge will keep you going consistently, can fill you all the way up because you're consistently eating foods that are low on the glycemic index. For example, if you eat an apple, it just takes a long time for your body to digest it and slowly drip bits of glucose into your bloodstream versus eating a Hershey bar or something like that, or, you know, candy of some kind that does not need to be broken down in your body, right? Just for example, there's a couple different things in your body, like if you eat meat, there's a thing called pepsin. They say it's the strongest acid in the world. One of the strongest acids in the world are actually in our stomach. And our stomach has a special lining that is the only type of lining in our body that actually can protect against this specific type of acid, which is pretty fascinating. So when you eat food, well, I don't want to go through all of it, but we learn in nursing school that, or in college that, you know, different things that you eat are broken down at different stages through the digestion process, whether it's like starch starts breaking down right in your mouth, actually. And it's the reason why if you leave bread in your mouth for a little bit, it'll start to taste sweet because it starts to break down the starch in the bread. Okay, so then once it gets to the stomach, it starts breaking down protein. Protein sits in there for a while. It stays in the actual stomach organ of your body a little bit longer. And because it's the only place it can be broken down. And what happens is if you eat a steak, it's mixed with meat and fat and everything. So it breaks down the protein and immediately starts to put it into your bloodstream once it starts breaking it down. But then it breaks off the fat portion of the meat, right? Because there's always fat, some fat in meat. And that's where bile comes in. There's these little ducts. As soon as it leaves the stomach into the intestines, right, into the tubes of your you know, your body, which is the intestines, small intestines, your liver secretes a thing called the bile. And if you had a gallbladder, some people have it removed, it's a big sack of this green bile. And it's the only type of thing that we know of in our body that actually breaks down fat. It emulsifies is what it's called. So as soon as the fat enters your small intestines, it breaks down it there, and then carbohydrates and things like that get broken down in there as well, right? So so that's kind of like a brief introduction of like how this whole thing works. Versus if you eat sugar, it hits your stomach, immediately gets sloughed to the intestines, and immediately gets processed as glucose. Look at it like a giant Lego, like, I don't know, castle that you build. You couldn't just immediately run up and stomp on it because it's so big. Let's say it's like 5 feet tall Lego castle, like you go to Legoland, right? Sure, you could bust it up, but it's going to take you a little bit, right? The glucose is not put together. It's like having that whole castle just in a bag. And we're just going to pour all those Lego pieces, those little glucose molecules directly into the bloodstream. So that's what it is. When you have issues with insulin, it's because you're constantly just pouring a bag of glucose, sugar, into your bloodstream, or refined flours and stuff like that do the same thing. And my diet coach, Bob, one of the things he said is like, don't eat flour and sugar, because that's what happens is you get addicted to that hit, that spike in blood glucose, and then you get a spike in insulin. And eventually, if you are like really bad about this, I don't think I've ever been this bad, maybe at certain times in my life during certain celebrations, maybe where we're having cake, pie, and ice cream, right, every day for a couple days, you know, maybe like Thanksgiving time or Christmas or something, right? But if you do that all the time, let's say you're drinking diet soda, or not diet soda, regular soda, that's a big, big, whenever somebody says, oh, I struggle with weight, but they still drink regular soda with calories in it, it's like, honestly, like it's like eating five steaks. You know, to drink a big gulp is like eating five steaks. Like the amount of calories that come in one Pepsi it's just insane, you know. So one way, if somebody does drink regular soda to lose weight or to cut back on your calories, is just stop drinking your calories, okay? Because it's you're drinking them, so it's like the quickest way for your body to just flush it right down into your bloodstream and get a hit. The other thing too is when your blood sugar goes up, because insulin automatically spikes, it removes it from the bloodstream and into the cells, right? It puts them into the cells, so you feel a little wired, but then it goes away. Now, as adults, we have more cells, we have more blood, so it flows and we don't feel it as hard maybe as a child. But a child's a great example. If you give them a bunch of sugar, watch them turn into like a fanatic, just like crawling the walls and stuff. You know, it's just insane. And so there it's, and for little kids, like around 3 or 4, like I have a nephew, you give him sugar and he's just a different kid. You know, he'll go from being this sweet little boy to, you know, to a monster calling the walls, wanting to throw things. So, and as adults, it doesn't display that way, but we still have effects that are similar, right? We have effects that make us feel moody or make us feel tired or depressed. So one of the quickest ways I've noticed in my own life is just to, first of all, get rid of the sugar in sodas. If you have to have a soda, drink a diet soda. If you're like, well, I don't like the flavor, well, get a different flavor of diet soda. They have cherry diet, they have vanilla diet, they have cream soda, vanilla, cherry diet, all together. You know, like you can find one that works for you, I promise you. So, and they are carbonated, so it's just a matter of looking. So for me, I've actually decided to go ahead and go with like yerba mates. Andrew Huberman talks about what mate can do to reduce hunger cravings. So there's actually a yellow drink called yerba mate, and they have a low calorie version that has 60 calories. And I've been taking that, and it's been working well. So to kind of wrap up the food conversation, what you if you're just like, Mike, just tell me what to eat. This is the simple way to look at it. My diet coach, Bob Davies, would say, first of all, don't eat anything with flour or sugar. Okay. If you want one hard and fast rule, don't eat anything with flour or sugar. Okay. You're like, Mom, but everything has sugar. Exactly. That's why America's fat, right? So what are some things right off the bat? So you could say salad, but now you have dressing. So what kind of dressing? Vinegar is your friend. I didn't realize this until long after I was working with Bob. I was getting like yogurt dressing, which is good. They can make some good yogurt dressings, but there's a dressing with vinegar. Like for example, Red Hot is made with vinegar. Mustard. The Red Hot and mustard are like my two favorites, right? So if I'm eating chicken, I'll eat it with the Red Hot sauce and some tamed jalapenos. Right. And so the jalapenos have some carbs in them, but like whatever, right? Just a little bit. And then I'll have it with Red Hot sauce, which is zero calories. And it's good. It tastes good. It's a little bit spicy if you like spicy stuff. And then if I'm eating some kind of burger meat or not really steak meat, if with steaks, I'll have it by itself, smoked steaks. But if it's like burger meat, that's kind of, you know, not great. Not proud of it or something, you know, like I made it a few days ago and it's in the fridge, I'm microwaving it. I can eat it with mustard. And I'm fascinated that mustard has zero calories as well from a mustard seed. So those little things like that, yogurt, I think I mentioned it before in a previous episode, yogurt is good for you. Greek yogurt can be good for you, but you can definitely do that. But I actually am going for just the least amount of calories possible while I'm losing weight. And then I'll add back in things like eggs and yogurt when I maintain my weight. But to lose weight, I'm looking for things that have just the least amount of calories. So for Jell-O is what I was getting at. Jell-O is like my lifesaver. There's a sugar-free Jell-O, and there's all kinds of different flavors. They're supposed to have zero calories, but I think they do have some, just such a slight amount of calories. You know, for one little cup, it's like five calories. And so I sometimes, if I'm really, really, really hungry, I'll eat like 3 cups of that Jell-O. And, you know, if I'm waiting till 2 p.m., because I wait till 2 p.m. every day to eat. I have my first meal. It's called intermittent fasting. I have my first meal, and I can pretty much eat from 2 to 5, 5:30, something like that. Definitely not after 6. And that's my intermittent fasting schedule. If I'm doing a regular schedule, I'll just add one more meal, and that'll be around 9 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock. And it's just chicken, you know. I'm eating chicken and red hots with red hot sauce and some jalapenos. If I'm eating burgers, I'll have a burger with some mustard. And then, of course, every day I have a carrot juice. And I talked about this the other day. But no flour, no sugar. And the other thing is like I just mentioned, is time your meals. Whatever time you're going to do it. If you're not going to do intermittent fasting, set a timer on your phone and do the time. Bob would say, it's called box eating. So remember those four things in the box. So it's no flour, no sugar, time your meals, and then measure and weigh your meals. One of the worst things you could do is just eat. It's pretty good. And I do this all the time where I'll take carrots and I'm like, I'm supposed to have 250 milligrams of carrots in my shake. I'll go to make the shake, and then I already mixed it. I'm like, I didn't weigh it. So what I'll do, because I know myself, is I will go ahead of time and weigh a bunch of baby carrots. You know, you can make it with regular carrots too. They say it's better because you get the fiber. But anyway, I like them all clean and ready to go, you know. So I get baby carrots, and then I pre-weigh them on my little food scale. And then I put them in the in little baggies and put them in the fridge. So when I'm ready to make my individual single shake, I just take them out. What is it called? The shake? Carrot smoothie? Whatever it's called. Anyway, it's carrot stuff. And I have to gulp it down. It's not great. But if I don't eat that, going number two the next day or the next morning is difficult. It is not fun. Okay, so you got to have some kind of fiber when you're eating meat. You got to have some kind of fiber to keep things regular. And of course, there's supplements and stuff like that. But the carrots have so much nutrients. I mean, I have the carrots along with a coconut pineapple water that has 60 calories. I use half of that, so that's 30 calories. So I just chalk it up to about 125 calories for my carrot smoothie, and put a little ginger root in there. It gives it some taste. Great health effects as well. So I've mentioned that before, but I just wanted to kind of cover it in more expansive detail today so you know, like, you should never be hungry. Like this morning, I was planning to fast until 2, like I normally do. But I took my morning pill. It's like a men's multivitamin chewy thing. And then I took I take these. It's called Alpha Brain by Joe Rogan, or Joe Rogan promotes it. It's from Onnit, Onnit. I'm not affiliated with them or anything. I just take it. And the first time I took it, I swear, I went on YouTube, and for like 5 hours, I was mind mapping all of these health things that I'm doing now. And, you know, I've had memory issues in the past, and since I've been taking it, like, I remember everything. Like, I haven't had any issues that I can think of, and I'm just kind of like in fast forward, you know, if that's the best way to explain it. Like, if I go to clean the house, I can focus for 5 hours just cleaning everything, you know. If I'm trying to figure out a problem in one of my businesses, I can do it. So anyway, some people I know just do that. And they're like, what are you talking about? I do that anyway. But for me, I would get distracted. So taking this pill, it's like nootropics, I guess is what it's called. Nootropics. But it's like $60 every 2 weeks or something like that. So it comes automatically in the mail. But yeah, that's just what I take. I'm not suggesting you take it. You may not need it, but it helps me. So I took it this morning along with my multivitamin, and I started feeling sick. And I know people go through this when they take pills on an empty stomach sometimes, but man, it made me, I was feeling like I was going to puke, and I had to go on my walk. So after sitting around for a second thinking like, okay, you know, do I want to walk like this the whole time? So sometimes just sitting and waiting through something will fix it. Well, you'll get through the hunger, the pains, or whatever it is. But I started to feel like I was going to throw up. So I actually heated up a chicken breast because I have a ton of extra that I smoked out in the barbecue a couple of days ago. So I actually heated up a chicken breast and ate it before my walk. You know, so I already broke my fast for the day, but it made me feel better. So that's what I'm saying. You got to be a scientist of your own body, see what works for you, and then put it into action. And like I said in the beginning of the episode, I'm kind of jumping around, but like I said in the beginning of the episode, you can't outwork your diet. So it starts with the diet. I'm going to go as extreme as saying, if all you do is sit in bed all day, every single day, you can lose weight, right? Because if your basal metabolic rate is 2,400 calories, because you've got a lot of muscle on you, let's just say your basal metabolic rate is 1,500, because you're a woman or you're a small guy or something, right? 1,500 calories, you could lose. You know, if you ate only 500 or 600 calories a day, maybe even 1,000 calories a day, you would still lose 500 calories a day. Okay, there's 3,000 calories to a pound of fat. So if you did that consistently over the course of a year, you would lose weight. You'd lose a lot of weight, right? So I think in a week, you lose like 2 pounds a week. So 500 calories, and that's what most people would recommend, you know, only about a 500 calorie deficit per day. For me, I have a lot of weight to lose, so I'm trying to be a little bit more aggressive, but the point is still the same. You don't have to exercise. What you should exercise for is for your overall fitness, your heart health, right? For your muscle health, your muscle stability, the what happens to your brain when you exercise. You know, Andrew Huberman talks about this, the neurology of it. You get up and exercise, you get sunlight in your eyes the first thing in the morning. Like, that's what you need to focus on when it comes to exercise. Not so much how much calories did I burn or, you know, although, you know, like on The Biggest Loser, that's what they're doing. That's their whole purpose, is they'll go out in the gym and work out for 4 hours a day, 3 or 4 hours a day after running, you know. So you could definitely do that. You might need to eat a little bit more protein, you know, keep you going good, but you could do it. That's the point. So find out what works for you. Be a scientist of your own body. And that would be my, I think that's going to be the last I really touch on the food, unless I start adding other things to my diet. Okay. So, if I seem like I'm a redundant, redundant Ricky over here, that's why, because I'm trying to help you guys understand how it's working, how it works and how it can work for you. You know, my diet coach, Bob, would say eat a salad, or he would have breakfast. He would have eggs and yogurt. And then for lunch and dinner, he'd have salads. And I did that, and I lost 100 pounds doing that. So if that works for you, do that. At this stage in my life now, it's like, you know, making the salads and doing the whole thing. I would rather make a smoothie full of carrots and other vegetables, if I want to add other vegetables, than having a salad. Because with a salad, I feel like I have to add a bunch of other things like nuts and seeds and ranch and croutons, right? And that's what I ended up doing after a while. So I went from losing 30 pounds a month down to only like 5 pounds a month, you know? So this is working better for me because it's more controlled. I can just pop some carrots in the thing and, you know, some coconut water, and we're good to go, right? Eat my meat because I love my meat with my sauces. I have zero calories and I'm good to go. It's controlled. There's nothing else in the refrigerator. So guys, that's it on food. Go ahead and wrap this episode up. I'm excited. One thing I'm doing for my emotional mental health is I'm playing the piano. I'm learning to play some songs from church. Okay. I'm learning to play the piano because I think, you know, it's a cool skill to have. And I play the guitar. So different things like that bring joy and bring the spirit into your life, especially if you play, you know, gospel songs and stuff like that. So I hope this episode was helpful. I hope you're accomplishing your goals. And thank you for coming along with me on this journey. You guys take care and live mighty.